What we're wanting to do is just, this is just an opportunity to just talk about this relationship we call marriage, because we believe strongly in it, and we're going to go through and let them introduce themselves to you a little bit, because maybe you know a name, but you don't really know the person and the people that make up that relationship and that role. And so we'll go first just real quick, and then we're going to recede into the background a little bit. Corey and Pam, we've been married for 30 years. 26 of them have been pretty good. Thank you. Okay, let's get comfortable here. Yeah, this is real talk. We have a freshman at KU, Rock Chalk, and then a junior at McKinney High School, and we've been at Christ Fellowship for
a decade now.
Yeah. So this is a great home and a great body of people that we get mm-hmm. to worship alongside. And so we're just going to kind of start at the end and come back. Just a quick. Who you guys are, a little bit about you.
We are Adam and Tracy Ewing. We just had our 19th anniversary in December, so we've been married for 19 years. We are originally from Kansas, so we've been here in McKinney for 12 and a half years. We have a 16-year-old, Alexa. She has significant special needs, so that plays a huge part into our home. And then we have a 12-year-old daughter, Nora, who is in seventh grade. Is that good?
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
I'm Ken Mattson. This is my wife, Susan. And this summer, we'll celebrate 40 years of marriage.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, we have three children grown. Our oldest son and his wife live over in Louisville. They have a 2-year-old grandson of ours. It's their son. And then we have a daughter and her husband that live down in Austin. And they have a 1-year-old grandson of ours. And then we have a single daughter who is 25. She'll turn 26 this year. So, and we've been here about 22 years here at Christ Fellowship.
Fantastic. I like the phraseology of a grandson of ours. Like, let's just be clear where these kids relate. Okay, perfect.
So my name is Ron. Can you hear this? It's coming through. There we go. Ron Ryan, my wife Yolanda. We have been married 39 years. We'll celebrate 40 also this year. In November. We have three children, and we're a little bit different in that we have mixed. Yolanda had two little girls when I married her, and we have a son together. And now we have five grandchildren, ranging from 17 to 1 year old, and one on the way. So we'll have six here shortly.
Fantastic.
And we're Bruce and Tamara. And we've been married last summer. We celebrated 40 years for us, which is
congrats.
Awesome.
Yeah.
God's blessed us with five kids, all grown, and now nine grandkids. And they range from 1 year old to 10 years old. And we have one in the Dallas area, three grandkids in Waco, four in Austin, and one in the Phoenix area. And they're all just such a blessing. And we've been here at Christ Fellowship a long time.
Yes. A long time, yes. That's, that you should be able to put all that together pretty well, yes.
Yeah.
The OGs.
Well, my name's Corey. This is my college sweetheart, Marcus. Mm-hmm. We went to TCU together and met there on his first day of school, but he pursued me, not the other. Yes.
Good plan.
So we have two girls. One is 12 and the other is 10. We have been at Christ Fellowship since 2008. So, we're the babies of the group, I guess. It'll be 14 years this year of us being married.
So. That's awesome.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, our hope is that through this conversation that we get to have, that you see everything's not always in lockstep, right? We see things differently, and that's part of what makes marriage so good and so troublesome, right? Because we have a partner that helps us, and sometimes they see life differently. You know, I always joke about where you were raised. Maybe you were raised like my household, where the biblical time that you have Christmas is Christmas Eve. Biblical.
Yeah.
I'm being very, emphasis is important on you, right? Because that's what I thought. Because that's what my family did. Well, guess who I marry? Christmas morning. Right? And so that's what marriage is. And so just the fact to have a chance for you guys to be courageous enough to show, yeah, we don't always agree on who's the messiest or even what messy means. That's fine. That's part of what married life is. And so thank you guys for humoring us. And so I'm going to just throw this out. Anybody that wants to start the conversation, I'm going to just, whoever's the most extroverted among you as couples, or the second most extroverted, whoever it is, what's worked well to strengthen your marriage over the years? Because I love the fact that we've got 14, 15, and 40 coming up. That's a good
19.
Thank you. Why did I say 15? I was not paying attention.
It's okay. So,
but yeah, so what's worked well to strengthen your marriage over the years?
I'll go.
Thank you.
Break the ice here. I think one of the things is a habit that we do, and we have done since we got married. And as I mentioned, I came into a family already. But I think one of the things we did early on and have maintained really throughout our lives is that we always had specific time that we spent together. I traveled a lot through our marriage. But when I came back, we had family time and we spent time with the kids, but we always spent time together. So something either weekly or as often as we possibly could, we'd always try to get out together, even if it was just for a quick dinner. But I think that has been one of the habits that we've had over the years that's really helped us quietly.
That's great. And I think it's important to recognize, like you're describing, Ron, that it doesn't have to be formal, like you're saying, right? It can just be, how do we steal time? How do we get away? That's huge. Thank you for getting us off and running.
Yeah, so I'll extend on that. For us, you know, communication has always been key, but it's the intentionality of the communication. I think everybody knows you can talk to your spouse, but a lot of times it can just be about the day or what's coming up on the, you know, schedule or kids or whatever it is. But for us, it was always asking each other, how are you doing? And not just a passing by, but legitimately spend the time, have an hour or whatever it is to be able to ask the person, how are they doing spiritually, physically, mentally, however it is. I think it's been a huge blessing for both of us because you feel like you can really be honest and you can take the time to share with each other, whether it's good or bad. I mean, sometimes it's great and it's all praises, and sometimes it's not. And there's a lot of things we have to work on. But that intentionality has really helped us figure that detail out.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And I'm going to ask another question on top of that for you guys, if you don't mind. Is that something you've learned to improve, or has it always been something that's kind of been easier to do? Because I think there's not a right answer here. I'm just curious about for you guys.
Well, I would say the communication piece has always been something that we had always done. Even when we were dating, we were always communicating about everything and honesty of just all the different things going on and how we were feeling. And so that started out early on. And then the intentionality part of it probably grew over time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me specifically, our first year of our marriage, our first year with Alexa was extremely tough. Mm-hmm. And so you learn quickly when you go through a deep, deep valley of what your intentionality really is. Where's your focus? And so that's, to me, where that was the huge growth.
Right.
Being able to focus on something that was bigger than ourselves, mm-hmm. and to be able to have that time to be able to really open up to each other. And I think that was the huge step for me. And then it's been, you know, baby steps since.
Perfect. Thank you. And because I think that's important to clarify. That, because sometimes couples, we have a real easy flow of a conversation and it can go deep. And sometimes it's incredibly uncomfortable when our spouse tells us what they really think. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, I didn't want to know that. Because now what do I do with that? How do I relate to that? And so thank you for modeling that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Someone else.
Yeah, and I think kind of around the communication thing too is just always being united as a united front so that whether it's to our kids or our other family members and things, that we're together in this, whatever the situation might be, and communicating with each other to know, like, before we communicate with them, here's where we stand. You know, here's what we're going to do and how we're going to present it. And then I think the other thing, this is really a small communication thing, guys, but it took us a while to get there. because we both had very busy lives, especially early on in our marriage, and we'd end up committing to things without telling our spouse we committed to something, and then the time would come we're both committed to different things. It's like, that's probably not good. So she owns our calendar now. You know, anytime that anything comes up, I'm going to check with her. I mean, she'll check with me to see if I've got something, but I never commit to anything to put on a calendar without checking with her, because she keeps our master calendar.
That's perfect.
And that's a bit of communication. It took a while for us to learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, what you're describing here, Kate, is the idea of playing the strengths of each other, right? Because I think every couple encompasses different aspects that one's going to be stronger at something than the other.
Yeah, and we're also kind of convicted on let your yes be yes and your no be no, because when we both make commitments and we've got conflicting commitments, we're going to have to say no to somebody when we said yes to them. And we just didn't feel comfortable doing that. So
that's good.
That's why we try to unite on that.
Thank you.
Corey, I think something for Corey and I, we've always stayed curious about each other.
Okay.
Curious,
love that word.
Curious in every, really in every season, just about the goals going into New Year's, curious about new endeavors that we want to pursue with one another. And as you mature through marriage, those things change. Yeah. And if you don't ask and you really don't understand, hey, what are you really focused on? So that for us has been something that's really key in our marriage, just keeping level of curiosity around each other. I said I'm still pursuing her, and that's a way that I continue to pursue her, is just being curious about what she truly cares about, you know, what her heart desire is. And so that's something we've always kind of focused on and intentionally, I think, put at the front of our marriage as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
I mean, for us, in terms of just time together, how important that time/communication, you know, thinking about what you said, Ron, and raising five kids. We had five kids in 6.5 years, no twins, and so they're all close together, and it was insane for those years. And we couldn't even do a weekly date. It wasn't either time-wise possible or financially. And so we started early on the habit of going to sleep together at the same time. And just those minutes of getting ready and all of that gave us a time to connect with each other on a daily basis that, and I know different people, maybe in your marriage it doesn't work that way, but we've kept that habit for 40 years of almost every night.
Yeah.
We're going to sleep at the same time.
So I want to get real here, though. So sorry. I'm going to get real here. What you said about checking with each other first. So when we had four children and I was pregnant with number five, Bruce committed. You know, you said don't commit without talking. He committed that I was going to be an Awana Cubby leader. And I was pregnant and had four little kids. And that's how he ended up in an Awana Cubby leader shirt.
Nice.
No, it might have been one of the first times I said no.
Yeah.
Nope. But the other thing that has helped us so much is sometimes just having an outside person speak into us. And maybe 2017, we have a very good friend who reads people very well. And we were having a conversation with him because we were just sort of not connecting in our communication. And he was able to point out, you know, when Bruce talks, all his energy and power goes that way. But for me, everything I hear comes this way, and it's power. I mean, so if he says, I want tacos, I think I have to make the best taco bar in the whole wide world. If I say, I want tacos, he's thinking, maybe, who knows, you know. So we just had to learn how we're talking to each other. And I have to say, do you really want tacos? Or are you just asking, you know, you just mentioning it? And he has to say to me, I hear you say you want tacos. That means you really want tacos. Because if I say something, that generally means that's what I'd really like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, we'd been married 30-something years before we figured that out. And I had a lot of frustration built up over that. So, and felt powerless, completely powerless. But that was so helpful. And it's been helpful several times in our marriage to have somebody else speak into our marriage. Yeah,
early in our marriage, we did some really intensive counseling.
Intense therapy based around my issues of family of origin. And that we went together because even as a young, dumb kid, he said, we're one person. So if it's your problem, it's my problem. And we just went and faced it together.
Nice.
I'm glad he did.
Yeah. You got something, Bruce, you want to add?
I was just going to say, if we're one flesh, then what are you going to do this together?
Yeah.
And that was really important because it's really easy for counselors to identify with whoever they're counseling. And so it's easy, if Tamara's sharing frustrations with me, to then side mm-hmm. with her against me. And when we're together, that doesn't happen. So, mm-hmm. and then we went through another round with this person Tamara's yeah. talking about. And then now, going through the transition we're in now, I really appreciate the elders mm-hmm. said, hey, we'd love to provide somebody for you. So we're working with a coach right now about every 3 weeks on Zoom. Mm-hmm. His name's Jim. He's out of Tennessee. But so helpful for mm-hmm. us right now in this current season to have mm-hmm. an outside, wise, godly person, whether they're psychologist, counselor, pastor, helping you mm-hmm. at different seasons mm-hmm. in your marriage.
Yeah, I realize I'm biased as a marriage and family therapist, but everybody needs to go to therapy. Yeah. And the reason I can say that is because every single one of us is born in families. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every single family has a level of dysfunction. And who is the one that points out that level of dysfunction the first? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Usually spouse. They're like, you guys are crazy. And then you're like, wait, have you looked at your family, right? And that's yeah. the way this goes, because yeah. there's no right or wrong in a lot of things we're talking about and what they're dealing with, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so any of you that didn't initially speak, do you have anything you want to add on what tradition, what practice really helps keep marriage at the forefront? Because every one of you are representatives of... It's very easy for the immediate to outweigh the important because of mm-hmm. schedule, life, circumstance, longevity, grandkids, work, transitions, whatever it might be. So any of you that didn't initially speak have something you want to add? Yes, ma'am.
I'll add, from the very, very beginning, we've always felt that marriage was forever and there was no plan B. And we've never even... talked about separation or divorce or anything like that, that we just, our parents had been married forever, and that just instilled this feeling of marriage is forever no matter what. And for the two of us, like I said, it never ever came into conversation, no matter how mad we got at each other, that would even be something we would ever think about or entertain. And it was tough in the beginning. It's always tough when you're newly married, but it is just—it's just part of who we are and what has made our marriage work so well.
Perfect. Thank you.
I think one of the things that you said just triggered something in me. When I grew up, my parents argued all the time, like all the time. The last one I can remember, I was holding my Bible on the stairs, listening to them argue, and I said, mm-hmm. I do not want to grow up or have my kids grow up in a household like this. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we've always done is if we don't typically argue, but if we have a disagreement, we don't let the kids see that. We'll talk about it, you know, in our room or discuss it later. But somebody else had said about just having unity as a marital group. But modeling that to our kids is so important. And his family, like, they never argued either. Out like in front of their kids. So he didn't know what that looked like, and I did. And so having that kind of trauma is not something that we wanted to continue in our family. And so I think just noting that, no matter how mad, he's super cute, but sometimes I do get upset.
He is super cute too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just think that that's really important for the people that have littles and have, you know, grown children, just keeping that unity and making sure that you're modeling healthy behavior is something that we've always wanted and tried to do in our household.
Thank you.
I'll add one more thing, too, that through all the different seasons in our marriage that has been important to us is having time together. Early in our marriage and early in our older daughter Alexa's life, you know, there's a lot of needs. Even now she has a lot of needs, but early on there was a lot of needs we were figuring out. That takes place of, you know, our time and our energy, but we made sure to put time and energy into each other too, to focus on our marriage. And I will say even now, even though her needs are different, we have a 12-year-old that likes to stay up till 10 or 10:30 at night. So then that takes away our time in the evenings together. So there's nights where we'll be like, okay, you need to go watch your own movie so that we can have time together. So just trying to carve out that time, even because we're always going to be busy, we're always going to have interruptions and distractions and high needs of children. So making sure we have time and put that other stuff aside for a minute.
Perfect. Thank you. I like the idea of steal time even in the same house. That can be helpful, too. I look back at Pam and I's when we first had our first one. We had a nightly ritual of a bottle washing line every night as soon as she went to bed. And that actually was a time we could talk. And looking back at it, we just stumbled on that thing. I didn't know. It's like, sweet. It worked well looking back at it. But I think that's important to realize. It doesn't have to be formal, is what I'm hearing from you guys. But it does have to be intentional. So which one of you, and this is just to kind of put one of you on the spot, if not both of you a little bit, which one of you is the most likely going to speak up about, you know what, we haven't had time together in a while? Who would it be? You can just
raise a hand.
Raise a hand if you want, or point if you want to label somebody, okay? Okay. Ron, they're negotiating to figure out. I think it was you. No, it was me. It was you.
We spend so much time together.
Okay, well.
And we're trying to figure out, I mean.
Fair enough.
I'm newly retired, by the way, so.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yes, okay.
Congratulations.
Perfect, okay.
Okay, so we're going to kind of move on from here. What biblical passages or stories have helped you guys strengthen your marriage? And I guess this doesn't necessarily, this could be you individually or you combined as a couple if you have one you've discussed. And which biblical principles, stories, specific scripture do you go back to over and over?
When we got engaged, his verse that he wanted to be our life verse was Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And we just try to say that to each other a lot. And for me personally, it's Galatians. I can't ever think of the reference. But do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time will reap a harvest if you don't lose heart. Because sometimes it's just hard. Not in marriage. Just everything in life is hard sometimes. And you just keep pushing forward and doing what you know is right. And then you have to encourage each other in that. Just keep going. It'll get better. Just marriage is like this. Life's like that. All of life is like that.
So we had that psalm in our wedding.
It's in our wedding
and then
bands.
It's in our ring. It's the verse is in our wedding bands inside.
Yeah.
Just to remember, that's what we want to do is glorify the Lord
glorify
together.
Glorify the Lord together. Beautiful. And for the cause of Christ, like I'm thinking about a time that was really, we had a really hard, I lost two pregnancies and we had a child who was very sick and it was just a really hard time. I had lost my mother and that. So it was like within 2 years all this had happened. And I just had to keep telling myself that we are making this, we're getting through this for the cause of Christ. For the cause of, it has nothing to do with anything else but for the cause of Christ. And that's how I pushed through at that time. Because there was nothing else really making me want to push through, you know. Yeah, that was a long, long time ago.
No, I get it.
Nothing recent.
So I'm curious, Bruce. During that time, because grief is something all of us are going to face, and grief is also an incredibly disruptive part of marriage. How did all of that time impact you?
There were some super hard times there. Like Christmas has been always a big thing in our family, and Tamara's always been the one who celebrates Christmas, but. One of the miscarriages was in late fall, and we just didn't do Christmas much that year.
It was the week between Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving. And, but here's the big thing is he doesn't feel stress much, and so he was just rocking along, and I was in a puddle for a year because it was just one thing. I even lost my cat the same year. So it was like, and I remember I cried more for the cat than anything else because it was like, what else can happen? You know, what else is going to fall out of the sky? But it really, he kind of rocks along. And I remember Gene Getz, who was our pastor, had him on his radio show we were both there, and Gene was like, how have you dealt with this year? How? And Bruce was like, what? Hadn't been that bad. Gene was like, stop recording. Okay, this has been your life. Are you serious? He really did.
Right, like, perfect.
Yeah, this has been your life. Get real. It was, I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm still going to come back to you, Bruce. Yeah. How did that hit you? And because I get it that I know you well enough, I think, to know that you have a drive that is very similar to a lot of people that would be here, right? That no, I can buckle down. It's blinders. I've got a good mission. I've got going here, but there's still life going on around you. So I'm curious what came out in you.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, talking about Christmas as an example to me, the challenge was to going forward with Tamara being so sad with all the losses she's described, miscarriages, mom, you know, the cat, I mean, everything felt like all at once, and that was really hard. But then, like Tamara said, just the way I'm made, I'm just a, whatever way it is, I'm just a steady state person. But the downside of that is then not having enough empathy mm-hmm. and not being... these days, I'm a lot more empathetic than I was then mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and more appreciating what Tamara was going mm-hmm. through because also it was affecting her more than me. Like a miscarriage affects a lady mm-hmm. more than the guy between the two, and I didn't have enough compassion to really realize how deep that was for Tamara, for you, mm-hmm. you know, at the time. And so that's something I've had to grow in. So there's a positive and a negative to all of our personalities, all the way God's mm-hmm. made us. The strength is that I'm really good in a crisis because I am just steady mm-hmm. and don't really have many ups and downs. I'm not a really high or low person. I'm just steady, which is great, but it's also a negative.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was hoping to get to on the mm-hmm. sense that that's something that's learned,
mm-hmm.
right? And sometimes our best teacher of this is our spouse mm-hmm. and life on how they are wired because they do things different.
It was so interesting because when I lost my mom, it was like, we got to keep going. We've got all these little kids. He's busy working. But then when he lost his dad, I had to say to him, you're expecting something from me that I never got from you, even though it was years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And so he really did grow from that. When I lost my brother recently, he was really right there.
Yeah.
Really right there for me. So I appreciate that, you know, we can all grow. And I wasn't there, honestly. I don't deal well with emotion. That I had to really check myself when he lost his dad. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, we got to move on. You know, well, no, we don't. We don't have to move on.
Good. Right. Well, yeah.
Thank you for the vulnerability.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anyone else? Like, I'll restate the question again. What biblical passages or stories have helped strengthen your marriage? How they impacted you individually or as a couple?
This one's going to sound really strange, okay?
I love strange.
But honor thy father and mother. And a little explanation on that. Early in our marriage, both of our fathers passed away. And so obviously that was an emotional time for us. But we're from the Chicago area, born and raised up there. Throughout the early years in our marriage, you know, we were all in the same town with our parents and our grandparents, so very close-knit family, right? And we were used to that. And then about 25 years ago, we got relocated for work from Chicago to Florida. And we had two young kids, and then we had one on the way, which, by the way, guys, if you're ever thinking of relocating, if you have two young kids and a wife who's 7 months pregnant, don't do it. Wait. Worst thing I probably ever did. But what we decided at that time is we don't want our kids to grow up not knowing their grandmothers mm-hmm. because they're now 1,000 miles away. So when we bought a house that would have a room so that the grandmothers could come and stay. So from that time on, each grandmother would come and stay 6 months out of the year. And we just felt that as time went on, it was very important for us to show honoring our parents mm-hmm. and... as time came on, we knew that the time would possibly eventually come. We moved here then, that my mom could no longer travel, and we lost my mom a few years ago. But at that same time in 2019, my mother-in-law moved in with us. She's 92 years old. She has Alzheimer's. But it's we just feel it's very important, and it's very important for our marriage to take care for our elders in the family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about unity, and that was one thing that I think has strengthened our marriage, because we've both been on the same page with this. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether it's her mom or my mom or whatever that is, we've been on the same page to take care of them. And it's, I know it's a weird thing to say that strengthened our marriage, but it really has, to know that we can be together, and our kids see that too, how we've taken care of them and things. So it's an odd one, but one that really has strengthened us as a couple.
That's good.
So ours is probably a little more controversial. It's the Ephesians passage 21 through 33 in chapter 5. And it's probably, honestly, sometimes more for me. And it's Christ's call for love for my spouse. It's at a depth that I will never grasp as a human. I'm probably not the easiest person to live with, and I know I'm not naturally compassionate, which is always amazing because God has paired me with the most compassionate person I've ever met. But I think the challenge for me has always been, how do I show the love that Christ is calling me to as a husband for my wife? And not the love that the way I see it, but the love that she needs in her daily life, and what does that look like, not the way I see it. And so that's what we've gone to a lot. I remember we studied Ephesians early on in our marriage, and it has always stuck with us, and it has been a call and a challenge that's higher than anything for me personally that I'll ever be able to reach.
I think for us, the theme of our marriage has really been about faith. The way the Lord brought us together, I told you it was a mixed family, and it was an interesting story how that all happened. But one of the things I've always appreciated about Yolanda is that she has a very strong, quiet faith. She is, if you want someone to pray for you, she's the one to ask to pray for you. She is, throughout the marriage, always been the one on her knees. And so I think, you know, we've learned sort of to trust God together. So Proverbs 3 really comes to mind. Yeah, not sort of, yeah. But
Our story is very, I think, unique and wonderful. All praise to God. That God brought us together in a unique way, and that has been the basis of our marriage, of us staying together, of us never thinking, just like, I can't remember who said it, but divorce is not an option. Mm-hmm. Divorce is not an option. And just always going back to our Lord, always going back to the Word, and trusting in God to fix everything. Many times I have not liked the outcome, but it has been the Lord's will, and His will is what we're looking for.
Yeah, and I think for Corey and I, we've... it's always been us. You know, my parents were missionaries. You know, her parents separated when we were in college. So it was marriage. We saved. We were engaged for almost 18 months, saving for our marriage.
Saving for the wedding.
But Jeremiah 29, 11, of just the Lord's, that He'll prosper us and that He'll uplift us and He'll carry us, has always been our heart's cry, because those early years, even in the latter years, there's been some really tough challenges, from our children to our own marriage, financially, but He's always provided, He's always allowed us to prosper. And whatever that realm looks like, He's never forsaken us. And so it's all over our house. Our girls, when they're asked about scripture, they're always, you know, crying out Jeremiah 29 as well. And then I think in my latter years, Ephesians 5:25, just love husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And to Adam's point, just striving to love Corey the way Christ says. And I never will. I'm human. I'm going to try to the best of my ability, but that's one that's written on my heart for myself. Mm-hmm. Just something I wear it on my wrist, wear a lot of bracelets, and it's one on my wrist that I'm reminded of every day.
I think for me that Ephesians passage, especially in the last decade or so of our marriage, I don't know how long, has taken me to Philippians 2. Because, I mean, how did Christ love his bride is Philippians 2. He gave himself up for the church. He gave up the rights, prerogatives of deity, emptied himself, the text says. So I think, okay, my call is to empty myself of my prerogatives as a husband. Because sometimes, especially early in our marriage, I'd cling to my rights, but I'm the husband or, you know, whatever I wanted or needed or felt like it was important. And so more in this last half of our marriage or this last 10 years or so, is that's the call for me, is how can I live out Philippians 2 as a husband?
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well, you guys have been up here for a little bit already, so we're going to take a real quick break if you want to get some refill of water, bathroom. If you guys want to, everybody's an adult here, so if you want to restock on some food. We also want to have a little bit of time. This is going to be like a 5-minute break, so that means be back in here in 10 minutes.
No, 5 minutes.
5-minute break.
5 minutes.
So quick, because we've got more, and then we've got some questions coming in. So if you've got some things that you want covered, we'll try to weave it in. I see 10:04 on that clock, 10:03 on my watch. So 10:10, we're rolling again. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you got questions, feel free to write them out, hand them up to Lori or Rafe will come and grab them. We've got a few coming in. I want to pivot back a little bit as we kind of ease back in. And by the way, you guys are doing fantastic with our conversation. There's no one else here.
Yes, thank you.
It's just us. So, but I want to pivot back on what are some of the biblical passages or principles that have helped you. Some of you have alluded to this already. But I'm also curious of when you talk about marriage and then the biblical principles therein, what stood out to you that you come back to as a husband? What stood out to you that you come back to as a wife? And some of this is already, this will be a rehash a little bit, but I figure this can be an easy way. Because one of the things I believe, and this is part of what Reengage is about, so quick little shameless plug, it's about bettering myself. If I want a better marriage, I draw a circle around myself and I work on everything inside that circle. That's the principle of Reengage. Because I also believe marriage is a full-length mirror that exposes ourselves to ourselves. And so I'm curious, what you come back to as a husband or as a wife that helps you as it pertains to your marriage?
Is this on?
Yep.
One of the things that I have learned over time, and it has helped me greatly, is whatever the situation is, bad or good, not a perfect person, never will be, when I have run into a situation or a problem, I always remember, and I've learned this, I try to go back, I take it to the Lord. And that has always provided great fruit, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I have learned. Just if I, all of a sudden, Ron has said something and it's made me mad or I'm ready to burst, I have learned to stop and just pause and go back to the Lord, to the Word. Mm-hmm. And that has helped me tremendously a lot. I cannot tell you how much. And I think it has helped our marriage as well. Because mm-hmm. I may not appear to be, but I do have a temper. And if I let it go, it'll be ugly. So I try to first go there. And when I have, it has always been for the best.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you.
I can relate to what Yolanda just shared, too. When I get angry about some things or annoyed, since I'm the one that get more easily annoyed, with our personalities, it's sometimes hard for me to, Adam's a better arguer, we'll just put it that way. So I've learned over the years that that is, especially if I'm emotional, that doesn't go very well. And so I have, more so in the recent years, if I take my annoyance or my frustration or my anger and take it to God and pray about it, I usually see two things come out of it. God changes my heart, and it's either not that big of a deal, or it is just a little annoyance and I can move past it, Or there have been times where if it is a bigger deal, God speaks to Adam somehow, and he brings it up, mm-hmm. like either later that week or something like that, and apologizes, or, hey, let's talk about this. And it's just amazing to me to see God do it that way. Like, mm-hmm. it's pretty incredible. So I try to take my emotions and frustrations and anger and share it with God first instead of being emotional and sharing it with Adam. I'm not perfect. It doesn't always go that way. But that's my intention and what I try to do. And mm-hmm. I see fruit from it.
Perfect. Thank you.
That's really beautiful. I can't tell you how much God has shown himself in that. God is great. He is beautiful. And he is so giving. And I love that. And that's one of the ways that really has helped.
Mm-hmm. Good.
One of our family verses has always been Philippians 4:13 about how Christ gives us strength. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning of our marriage, although we were both Christians, Jesus was not the center of our lives or our marriage. And things were tough. You know, things are tough, you know, different seasons. But as we've grown in our marriage and in our lives and closer to the Lord, Jesus is everything, and it is the center mm-hmm. of our marriage, and it is the center of our lives, and it definitely allows us to focus on what's important and gives us strength beyond measure. And, you know, we try so hard with our children, our adult children, to help them get that at an earlier age, because I think it would make their young married lives so much easier, but you can't, I mean, we try, and we'll never mm-hmm. stop trying. And they'll have to figure that out on their own as well. Mm-hmm. But we will just keep trying, and hopefully our life will become a witness for them as well as they're mm-hmm. growing through their young marriages and figuring it out, too.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you mind, don't mind, I'm just going to add to that, too, because Susan mentioned, you know, that early in our marriage, Christ wasn't at the center of our marriage. It's not that he wasn't a part of it. He just wasn't at the center. And that's mm-hmm. honest, and that's on me. During the first, I would say, probably 15 years of our marriage, I really hadn't stepped up to be the spiritual leader in our household. Mm-hmm. And I think as a husband, I was letting my wife and my family down in that. And so especially you guys, I saw a lot of 1 year and 2 years and stuff. As the man in the household, we've got to step up and be that spiritual leader. And I wasn't fulfilling that role in my household. Mm-hmm. And I think once I stepped up and Christ really became my leader versus my co-pilot, you know, I think that made a big difference in our marriage. And our marriage has been much better. And I'm a better husband now than I was 15 years ago because of that. And, you know, and I love all the things that, you know, the other people have said. And even in Philippians, it has more to do with our contentment in our circumstances as well and the joy that we get through the Lord that we can only get through the Lord. But I just encourage the guys to, if you're not at this point, you know, to step up and let Christ lead you to be the leader in your household.
Okay, I would be remiss if I don't take this opportunity from the fellows that are up here. What does that look like tangibly, right? Because I think we all understand the idea, mm-hmm. and that's what we're all striving for, and it's going to look different for each person, because I don't know if, I mean, Bruce, tell me if I'm wrong. I haven't come across, here is how you do husbanding, right? Yeah, and here is how you do wifing.
It's, you know, for me, the way I'm made, I'll tie this to a biblical passage, is that I'm, the challenge in our marriage is I'm not just the husband, but I'm the pastor. And so that can be like doubly, you know, and Tamara would teasingly call me Bible boy.
Uh-huh. You can never win any argument with Bible boy. He's got God on his side, all the answers.
But that's been super challenging for us, like having time in the Word together, because Tamara's like, I don't want to share an insight.
Yeah, I can't share anything because he already knows it all. He's, you know, so we've been working on that.
And then I've shared, I'm excited to know that you saw the inside. It doesn't matter if I saw it 20 years ago. That's irrelevant, or I read it in seminary. Yeah. I'm excited you saw it. But then that can sound condescending, like, oh, good job, little you know, person. You found this new insight. So that's super challenging.
You're not giving out stickers like, yay, good job.
Well, Tamara said, well, your tone of voice sounded like, you know, I was a little kid finding some new thing.
Or that was really nice, but five people way smarter than you have discovered why that's wrong. Okay, he doesn't do that one anymore.
He really doesn't. So, smart call.
For me, it's the biblical passages about gentleness, like the fruit of the Spirit, being gentle and kind, and endurance and patience. Because the other problem that I have is that my approach to conflict is head-on, immediate, and thorough. Like, all right, let's just deal with it right now. And, like, don't let the sun go down your anger. You know, let's deal with it right now. And so then if, you know, but then what that...
is to run away. Completely.
So the downside of that is Timber's having a bad day, feeling grumpy or whatever, and then I want to get to the bottom of it. Why are you feeling that way? What did I do wrong? Let's talk this out. And what I've learned in many of those times, I just need to give you space. So the endurance and patience is to give space and to resist my desire to immediately confront and drive to the nth degree to the bottom of this thing, but to let it go and give space and time, endurance, patience, kindness, gentleness to say, hey, and so now we're much better. But Tim was saying, I just need some space. I just need to be alone. I just need to be quiet. There's nothing wrong. There's no big trauma. I didn't do anything wrong, you know. And so those are the verses I'm looking to right now.
Perfect. Thank you.
I don't know how many people in this room, but I see people our age were around in the 60s and 70s when we were taught in church that women are just supposed to have a gentle and quiet spirit and be a submissive wife. And that's what we were taught, which led to a lot of abuse and a lot of,
It was a truth out of balance.
It was a truth out of balance. And, I think we have come a long way in 40 years, both of us realizing that's not what being a spiritual leader means and not what being a godly wife means. I don't know how to explain it better than that, but...
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's part of why I want to land on this a little bit, just so that we get a chance to hear from other people that are still working them out, too, on how it applies to you. Because I think every one of us, if you've been in a church... culture and dynamic for a long, like I was raised, my joke is I was born in the church, right?
With a
mom that worked at it and a father that was an elder or a minister. And so it's easy to get caught up in, well, that fits my narrative, so that's got to be the way it goes, rather than, wait, this is an evolving of all, it's a relationship that we have with God. It's a relationship we have with one another. And so that's why I'm just curious of, tangibly speaking, what does that look like as you see it? Yeah, Ron?
Yeah, so when you said, you know, focusing on ourselves, I can relate to that in that the first thing for me was to get out of myself.
Perfect.
Sacrificing for, as Christ did, we do the same for our wives and for our family. And, you know, look, as a guy, we carry a lot of pressure with that. There's a lot that we, you know, we can't necessarily communicate back. I have a friend of mine said, you know, I can't tell my wife I'm afraid of the dark, right? And so there's just things that we hold. And I think for me, you know, I came into a ready-made family, and I think we all come in with some expectations. And it's ripping away some of those expectations to the core of, you know, what it really means, right? So for me, it starts there.
Perfect.
But the whole, and it's a lifelong process, by the way. Getting out of yourself is part of that.
Yeah.
So
perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I say from the wife's perspective?
I would love
that.
Yes.
So what I've seen, and you know, like Tracy and Adam were saying, like, or Ken was saying, like, we both were Christian, both grew up in the church, but Christ wasn't necessarily the center from the beginning. But what I've seen is growth, right? Growth that has not only inspired me as a wife and as a mom, but, you know, tangible things like seeing him in his word and how he is diving deeper into different devotionals and how he prioritizes his time. Our girls see that too. And it's even been for me a couple of times, like, goodness, like throughout the years, like, I need to get a little bit better than this. Like, he's leading us, not only from that perspective, but just whenever there are issues that come up or there's conflicts, the first thing that he goes to is not anything of the world. It's, well, what does the Bible say about it? And let's pray through this. And that's teaching the girls. So it's something that has to do with, like, growth. You're growing through that. It's something, too, where we as wives, we sit back and, like, we trust him even more while we see that, right? And so it makes the yielding that is spoken of a little bit easier because you know that he's synced up with what the Lord is saying, and so we are all going in the same direction, right? So I just think that modeling is good for us. It's good for our families, and it just helps to build that trust on a different level of he's the head of our household and God is telling him what to do. So let's make sure that we're all aligned in that.
All right, thank you.
I see iron sharpening iron right there. Yeah.
Can I add to that? Not much to add. There's nothing to add, but because, you know, I think it's, as humans, you know, Ron, you talked about, you know, getting out of yourself. A word that I kind of cling to is less of me, more of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the less of me, the more I can have Jesus and focus on my wife, my family. You know, I think in the latter years of just, I think about 21 days of prayer and fasting at home, right? And we could take a poll who's been doing it every single night, you know. But I think about setting the pace, quietly setting the pace for my family. And I know Corey's relationship with Christ is incredibly strong. And do I see her in her word? Yes. Do I see her doing her devotionals? Yes. No, she works in and out of the house. So I don't see every single action she takes, but I have full confidence. But I also know that if I quietly, firmly set the pace, she'll see. Mm-hmm. And she'll, not that she has to catch up to the pace, but she'll see the continuous pace. And so for me, it's just gently setting the pace as husbands, whatever that looks like. Not for a flag or those super kind words. It's, to Ron's point, it's what we're called to do. It's not easy. So, but
I'm going to brag on him a little bit in that he's always been really faithful, you know, every morning, you know, and throughout. I mean, that's just his life. And our adult children, even the ones who aren't living a life of faith like we would like them to, they'll call him with anything. Or call him about a friend, or they'll call us to pray for something because they have seen that all those years. They know it's real and know it's something we. Our oldest son, who is still struggling with faith, says, "I can't throw it out because Dad's given his whole life to it, so it has to be real." And I just think that model, it really does make a difference.
Yeah, for me, I was going to extend on the modeling because I'm a very tangible person. I think that's the biggest thing I do today. Today is God challenging me to model it in our home. But I think for me, again, it's the authenticity of how I'm modeling it. There's the normal practices that we should have of reading the word, prayer. But there's also the, how am I modeling it in my failures? How am I showing that when I have a bad moment? How am I giving it to the Lord? How am I being humble about that? How am I showing my brokenness in front of my family that I'm not perfect, but I can work through it, and they can see that in me. And I think that's been a huge growth for me to work through. I'm a question asker. If you hang out with me very long, you'll get a question asked by me. And I think I'm already driving my kids nuts with it. I know that she kind of just looks at me like, how many more questions can this guy really have in our life? But I think that's also something that works, that God's used a lot, is that he's given me the time to ask the questions in good moments, to be able to not just challenge in an inappropriate way, but challenge in a healthy way to everybody else in the house, like how they're doing spiritually. And he uses a lot to reflect back on what I need to be improving on, whatever he's doing in their lives. And so those are a couple of things that I agree with all the modeling there, but a couple of things that have been really powerful for me and my walk and how it looks in our house.
And I'm so glad to hear all these things being said, because that's exactly the kind of thing I was talking about. These people were blessed to do that very early in their marriage. It took me a while longer to get to that point, to model to my kids and to my wife and for them to see the fruits of the Spirit with my actions and what I'm doing. And so that's exactly the kind of thing I was talking about in the change and growth that came in my life that made me a better husband, I hope, anyway.
I think a trap that it's easy for some men, some of you guys maybe to fall into, or for me earlier in our marriage, is to think I'm a spiritual leader, and so I'm going to direct my wife to do the kinds of disciplines I do, or to do it the way I do it. And so that I think is a trap. So I read the Bible through every year. Well, reading has gotten harder for Tamara with some vision issues that she has. Or I'm a journaler, and that's part of, you know some people recommend journaling. Well, Tamara's not a journaler. So a mistake for me would be to say, well, if you're going to really, if I'm going to spiritually lead you, show me your journal. And did you write in your journal today? And okay, that's just silly. But it is easy to fall into that trap when you are exuberant as a husband, or you have made a new, maybe you've recently come to Christ, or you've made a new search for it, a fresh commitment, and you're growing spiritually, and you feel like your wife's not growing at the rate you are, the way you are, is to try to have her, try to force her to do or expect her to do what you're doing, which may not be what works for her.
Or vice versa, the wife to the husband.
Yeah.
And also something that's been helpful for us, too, once again, having someone speak into our marriage, is Bruce is a leader. He's just going to lead. And so he assumed that if he's a leader, then I'm a leader, and I should be leading this and that and that. I am not a leader. If I try to lead, it is going to fail. I'm a great person on your team. But he would try to say, go lead this. Go do it. If you're really growing, you're going to be... That is not the way I worship and not the way I serve the Lord, because I will collapse. And so having someone speak into us and say, here's how you're built, here's how she's built, and this is why she can live with you, because she's willing to go along instead of, that's been super helpful for us.
Mm-hmm. That's like a T-shirt waiting to happen. Here's how you're built. Here's how she built. That's why you can live with each other.
Yeah, well, because we can. If yep. I was as driven as he was, we couldn't do it. I have to be willing to go mm-hmm. where he's going.
Okay. So in the role you guys play, this is, I'm going to try to incorporate a couple of the mm-hmm. questions that have come in. In the role you guys play as elders and shepherds, obviously we are as a church at a transition time. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with this question. But so men, how do you carry that weight and how it impacts your marriage? And wives, how do you walk alongside, support, help? Because what you guys have with us is like what you have with each other in some mm-hmm. ways. It's a relationship. And the role we play mm-hmm. as part of our body of Christ's fellowship and God's kingdom. And so being one that's called and that said yes to this role that you play, which is honored, by the way, by myself, and I'll speak for everybody here, how does that impact your married life? How does that impact your day-to-day? How do you carry that with each other?
And what was added here in this question that I love, this last follow-up question, any best practices that have been helpful for you?
They weren't ready for this question, so they're going to need a few minutes to...
It's just so different from how we were taught when we were first married, how we are now, mm-hmm. and learning, first of all, just through that early therapy that we went through because of my issues, just to gain independence and some strength in myself. And he grew with me in that and accepted it, which doesn't always happen. But to realize we have to submit to one another and love each other and always think the best of each other, hope the best of each other. And knowing, too, like she said, I see him in the Word. I know he agonizes over every decision, easy or hard. And I can trust that.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an easy way to put it, because it was easier back in the 70s when we could say, oh, he's got to make the decision because he's in charge and God's going to bless our marriage if we just listen and follow. That isn't really how it works. And I don't know how to say it. Maybe mm-hmm. you do because you're the doctor. But that isn't exactly the way it is.
Mm-hmm. And I think related to eldering, one thing that you have often said through the years is, well, I am a leader mm-hmm. and have lots of ideas and where we ought to go. Tamara, you've often said you've prayed for the elders, and you have such confidence when the elders mm-hmm. make a decision together, whether it agrees with what I think or not, that there's a strength. Mm-hmm. And then you've prayed for the guys, especially in our particular situation, because mm-hmm. I might be the one bringing more ideas to the table, mm-hmm. to really have prayed for me to listen and submit the idea mm-hmm. to the team.
And these guys are strong. They're not yes men. And I can think of several times when I've just prayed, God, please don't let this go forward if it's not the right thing. And these men have said, no. You know, and I that gives me confidence that when he does have an idea and they say, sure, I'm like, okay, then this is good. Because it's not just, you know, he's an idea guy, you know, mm-hmm. visionary.
As a wife, to support Adam in this role, I will say, I'll speak for Adam, and I'm sure a lot of the men will relate, is that I see that he takes holds a burden and responsibility in the decisions that are made and the conversations mm-hmm. that they have. And so what I appreciate to help me be a supportive wife is that he will share with me when there's something heavy, not necessarily what's going on, just will tell me there's heavy stuff mm-hmm. right now, or I'm really trying to pray through something right now, and letting me know, and this goes back to our communication, letting me know that he may not be 100% at home during that time period. And so communicating to me that there's some, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, that he might be a little quiet, he might be a little stressed, he might be feeling heavy, and so asking me to pray for him and also give him some grace mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that he may be a little more on edge or something just because he's got a lot going on in his mind and his heart.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's worth pointing out and confirming the fact that as spouses, don't we often, when we watch our spouse go through something, think it's about me? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It's, I can help. Give it to, mm-hmm. rather than hold on. There's what all of you guys have modeled so far is there's an individualness and then there's a teamness. Mm-hmm. And that's important to clarify. It's at least the understanding of, wait, this is kind of where I am. And that way you can maybe align better with each other. Good.
I think the first question, if I remember correctly, was how are we bearing the weight
yes.
of it?
Yeah.
I will say in part, and I believe that God prepares us for these things in our life. And I say often, the things that I just dust off my shoulder today would have killed me 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You do learn and you grow in your faith. Mm-hmm. And if I thought that this decision or this process rested on me, I would feel that way. Mm-hmm. What I take refuge in is that it really is that God is in control, and it really is about seeking him first and being willing to listen to him. But in addition to that, is that I'm one of the surviving, Bruce and I are one of the left from the original guys, and I have watched how God has put this team together and the type of men that he's brought to us at this time. And so I also take refuge in the fact that it's not just one, but the group of us together that carry the burden, and everybody brings something different to the party. And so I even in that, I see God's hand sort of working in this. Mm-hmm. If I let myself start to think that it is on me personally or something that, is going to, other than just doing the work we need to do, I can work myself into a real spin. And that's when I'm reminded, and my dear wife will also remind me when that happens, that, look up, right? Don't take it all on. But I think also just the amount of people that have come up to me and said, we're praying for you guys. And mm-hmm. it's just this undercarriage that just supports.
Mm-hmm. I think there's maybe more of a little insight for the strength of what we have amongst the brothers here mm-hmm. that meet, and obviously with all of our wives, is something that is beyond us. It really is God leading us. And I think there, when you walk into the room, like Ron said, that lifts a huge weight because you know you're amongst men that are truly seeking his will. And so it's a challenge. It's an encouragement. It's just something that you walk into. And when you walk away, yeah, there are stressful things. Yes, there are huge things that are decisions or whatever those are. But the fact that every one of us are seeking for the Lord to lead us, and you truly know that at, deep down in your heart, that that's where every single person is. And so that doesn't even become a worry. And so you're really able to focus on putting it in the Lord's hands and not trying to figure out what the dynamic of the human aspect of it is as much. And that's a huge blessing. I know for me personally, it's been a huge growth and an encouragement to be around each and every one of these people. So
I'd say with that, when each time new elders have come on, Ron, looking for the time, is we've said, hey, each of you needs to decide how much you're going to share with your wife. And so, and depending on the issue and depending on your spouse and the situation, because we've learned that sometimes God gives the person who is the elder the grace to handle that weight, but maybe not your spouse. Mm-hmm. And depending on the nature of the situation, you might share more or less. And so each person handles it a little differently mm-hmm. in their marriage and maybe per the issue. And then occasionally there's an issue where we say, hey, you know what? We're going to all commit not to share this with our wives for a period of time because of the weight of it, the difficulty of it, the depth of it, whatever it might, or sensitivity, confidentiality of it. That's not that often, a couple times a year maybe. It'd be something like that. The other thing we've learned, actually, there's an elder on our team years ago, Dick Best. Some of you have been around a long time and would know him. And he really encouraged us to build relationships as couples. And so from early on, we've gotten together, not just, we meet twice a month to talk about the affair, the ministries of the church on Monday nights. But we meet on Sunday nights quite often for socials and studies as couples to grow together in God's word, to pray together, and to get to know each other and eat together. And we feel like that there's something about being couples and sharing it together and the community, the koinonia, the fellowship that's built that is a big factor, I think, in the strength of this team.
Mm-hmm. I think the only other thing I'll add, it goes along with really what everybody said about that, about the subject, is that we're all praying for what God wants mm-hmm. us to do and what God is leading them to do as a team. And with that, for us, whether we know the situation or not, as wives, our job is to listen to the Lord, mm-hmm. right? And in that, sometimes there is a need to have boldness mm-hmm. to say, like, this is on my heart, and this is what God is telling me to tell you mm-hmm. about X situation or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so as a best practice, what I'm trying to say is that, like, if you are fervently praying and God is giving mm-hmm. you something to say or to share, have the boldness to tell mm-hmm. your spouse and whatever that in whatever that means mm-hmm. and that type of open communication or that type of, again, boldness to say it to them and express what you are mm-hmm. feeling, because God gave it to you for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so whether we know the situation or not, it might be what they are needing to hear or a point mm-hmm. or a consideration that they have not taken yet. So mm-hmm.
good. Yeah, I think that to what these guys said, you just really trust the men in that room. And sometimes as we're praying on a topic, when we know we're going to be discussing it, you might not have super clarity. Like, God's saying something, man, I don't really know. I can't really see it. And then you get in the room and the people start to speak on what God's told them. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, now I get it.
Right.
And it's really amazing how sometimes, you know, you walk in and you don't expect that. And then the unexpected comes out just because mm-hmm. God has really spoken to one of the people in a big way and mm-hmm. very clearly. And so mm-hmm. then we mm-hmm. can discuss that and talk about it. And then on the marriage part, I think it is to what Bruce said, is just knowing what to share and how to share mm-hmm. and some of the things, because I really appreciate Susan has great wisdom. And so there are some things that I can share with her that I ask her for wisdom mm-hmm. too, because God speaks to her different than he speaks mm-hmm. to me. And mm-hmm. and so I just really appreciate that. But Bruce, to your point, sometimes there's things we don't share. Probably the hardest thing was Bruce's announcement. When we heard it, we couldn't share with our spouses for a period of time. That was really hard.
How did that, because we are in a big transition that impacts you and it impacts all the others and then it impacts us. How has that carrying that burden until now it's out in the open and now it's a different kind of burden, I would venture a guess. How has that impacted you guys at home?
So if you remember the story, God gave me an insight before Bruce and I talked. Mm-hmm. And before I left for that meeting, I told Yolanda that what I thought was going to happen, and it did. But I would say for a long period of time after that, the two of us knew, and not everybody here did. And so it was a weight for a period of time to carry without the other guys sort of getting in there. So I would say kind of like Bruce, you know, I was really wanting time to go by faster to get to that point where everybody was involved.
I told Ron in December, and we told all the elders in January, and we told our wives in March, I think.
Mm-hmm. My prayer for this group of men is it went almost all the time when I pray for them, especially on Mondays, is for unity and decision, and they'll be of one mind. Because even if they come in with different points of view, that if they all agree on something, I trust that God's led that. Mm-hmm. And so that has been my prayer, and I think I covet that from the church to pray that they'll have unity and harmony. So many elder boards just start tearing each other apart, and this group has never done that in the history of the church. They've all been very supportive. But like I said, they all come from different perspectives, but they listen to each other and respect each other. Mm-hmm. That's my prayer, and I keep praying that and covet those prayers.
Okay. So go ahead, please, ma'am. So,
just for clarity and brevity, I think for my part, I think everybody understands it's a burden. It is definitely a burden. But it is definitely a privilege, a huge privilege to serve.
Thank you. That's appropriate, yes.
Yeah.
So thank you. So I want to, before we run out of time, I want to circle back, because the one thing that jumps out, I think I can speak for Pam here possibly too, that jumps out to me, hopefully you guys kind of see, or that whatever your takeaway is, I'm going to ask you to confirm that here in just a second, but is growth. The men and the women sitting up here now is not the men and the women that were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. And so on that trajectory of growth, one of the questions that came up, Tamara and Bruce, what you pointed out on the idea of you dropped the word resentment in there. Mm-hmm. Looking back at that journey, because I think all of us, I don't know if I can speak for you guys, but I'm assuming I can, because you're human. So resentment is not a foreign concept in your life or in your marriage, at least hints of it possibly. So what have you found that really does help you release that when it comes to how you are here today?
Are you referring to when I talked about hit?
I'm asking you to go however you want to go. I'm being a therapist question here, so it's wide open on how you go.
So early on, when that terrible time, I think we were so young, we just really didn't even know how to deal with it. And I don't think I had any resentment then, and I didn't feel it until all of a sudden he was feeling something and expecting something from me. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
Okay.
But by then we'd been together a million years, and we could say, okay, here's what's happening. We just named it and talked it through. And he didn't respond to me in an angry way when I said what I was feeling. He was like, man, I should have been there for you. You know, he really owned it. But at the time, to be fair, I didn't ask him to be there for me, because I didn't even know I should. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
Well, that's a perfect depiction of the fact that when life hits us, we're trying to figure it out as well as our spouse.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and we don't know what the right step is. or how to go or what to ask for, because we can't clarify it yet.
And we were both people who just, well, you just get up and go to work. That's what you do. So that's what we did. And it didn't hit me until he had his loss that I'm like, wait. Mm-hmm. But we were able to really talk about that and name it, mm-hmm. but not be angry about it. Just name it and say, this is how I'm feeling. And he could say, oh, yeah, I can see that. And it helped us. I mean, it was a lot of years of living together and loving each other and understanding each other.
Right.
And I think just thinking the best of each other, you know, just thinking the best of each other at all times, just trying to think the best. And you know what? That's a practice. And yes. I think of whatever's right, whatever's true, whatever's lovely and worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You can think on all kind of things that irritate you, but just as a practice to say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think about the things that I love or the good things. Mm-hmm. And so when those things come up, and that was a pretty dramatic incident, mm-hmm. To be able to say to each other, what do you need from me? And I wish I'd had this from you. And for him to be able to say, I'm really sorry I didn't give you that. Mm-hmm. But then when it came up again, he was able to give me that because I had told him. I hadn't told him before what I right. needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're describing claiming a truth as it existed between you yeah. and not necessarily weaponizing that truth.
Yeah.
But just claiming it. It's perfect. Yeah. Marcus, did yeah. you have something?
Yeah. You know, something Corey and I have really hung on to is the mantra we use in our house is we don't keep score. Yeah. We don't keep score. We're both 100% in, and seasons and weeks and days, and she doesn't resent me for not doing the dishes every day and vice versa. Just the small things that we hang on to as humans that we just feel like I've done the dishes a lot this week. And I feel like you need to, you know, I'm going to leave this pile. So you see, in we've just operated on and in the real big things, mm-hmm. The real challenges in life of not keeping score upon one another. And constantly bringing our mind back to that, mm-hmm. I think it's really balanced us out, mm-hmm. you know, in that mind frame.
And I think too, acknowledging that when something is hard, that you need some outside support, mm-hmm. like what she was saying. Like I love this man with all my heart, but there are some things that we just need help with and needed help with, and so we started seeing a counselor in order to help walk through those things. Even the strongest marriages need that type of outward help. And I think that that has been so fruitful for us in making sure that we are, you know, talking to one another, even when you're yielding to the Lord and even when you're walking close with Him. And so I think one thing to make sure is like nobody up here is perfect. Nobody's marriage is perfect at all. But what we are all doing and what you all are doing is trying, right? Mm-hmm. We are working towards loving one another, having relationships that are God-honoring. Mm-hmm. And so whatever that means for you and what you need to do in order to get that, acknowledge it and go after it. And I feel like mm-hmm. our lives have been so much richer from talking through some things with other people, similar to what mm-hmm. Bruce and Tamara were talking about. So,
and I'd say with that too is sometimes it's not a professional, but even having friends you mm-hmm. can talk to. So when we were first married, we had a young marriage group, and that was
so helpful
all going through that together. And then for us relating to each other as couples, this conversation we're having right now, we had in private last fall. Just on one of our Sunday nights, mm-hmm. we said, let's talk about our marriages. So, I mean, mm-hmm. there's a strength in drawing on each other as just friends.
That's so great.
I want to express.
Okay.
I'm going to be vulnerable here again. I had to really let go of petty because, do you remember this? And it was a sweet elder's wife who helped me with this. He doesn't even know how to turn the washing machine on. I've done all the laundry for all these years. Well, I would pull his things out of the dryer and they'd be inside out. And for years, I'd turn them right side out. And finally, one day, I just said, I'm just going to hang them up inside out, because if he wanted them right side out, he'd turn them right side out. So, I mean, then this man would go around with the shirt inside out because he wouldn't. So, and I was just so petty about it because I'm like, instead of saying, hey, you know, this is really a bother. It's just, but I kept doing it forever and ever. And so I was talking to Pam Lewis. Do any of y'all remember Pam? Sweet Pam. Mm-hmm. And I expressed my frustration at one of our Sunday night meetings, and she said, Well, I said, he is not a baby. I'm not his mother. I'm not turning his shirts and his underwear right side out. And or his socks. And she said, well, I baby Dave, and I'm proud of it. And it put me in my place. I thought, oh. But what I did learn isn't that I need to just be happy turning the clothes right side out, but it's to say, you know what, this would really help me. I never had said anything to him about it. Mm-hmm. I never had said anything. So I had to let go of the petty and say, turn your shirts right, or else, you know.
Thank you.
I mean, it's such a minor thing.
Thank you guys and ladies so much for the vulnerability, the realness. Yes. Yeah. One of the things that I hope you guys recognize is marriage is important. The thing we love about Reengage is it's a 100-year mission, because we believe if God will impact one marriage, that marriage has kids that are watching that will then get married and have kids that are watching that are then get married. And so you're talking about a generational impact with one marriage. And this is a fantastic model of the importance of that. So thank you guys so much. Lori, did you have...